There goes Lance in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What is up, North Dakota State fans? It's probably been a little bit too long as we wrapped up our summer series with notable Bison alumni and are finally in a situation where we can preview a real live, honest-to-goodness football game. And joining me is not the familiar, somewhat now southern tones of Trevor Gebhardt, but it is indeed the FCS version of, who would you say you're the FCS version of? Sam Herder.
That is a great question. I have no idea. I know there's a lot of national writers out there for the FBS, but there's only three of us nationally writing about the FCS, which is me, Brian McLaughlin, and then of course Craig Haley as well. So I don't know what the comparison I would draw for that one.
Right. That's why you get to be like Herb Street or whoever you want. I mean, if there's only three of you, you know, you get to claim whatever you want. But yes, joining us from Hero Sports is North Dakota State graduate and FCS mogul Sam Herder. Sam, it's great to have you on, buddy.
Hey, Ross. I appreciate you having me on. I always enjoy listening to the podcast and your and Trev's analysis approach to Bison football. So I always tune in every week, and I'm happy to step in for Trev and excited to talk about some Bison football. Didn't know if it was going to come in the fall or not, but I'm happy that NDSU gets one game here in the fall.
Yeah, certainly. And a team, you know, I think we've mentioned or I've mentioned that had the potential to be really, really good, a team that was going to be specifically very good offensively, and a team that has to feel a little bit like they've been cheated, as I think college athletes all over the country and lots of sports are sort of feeling that way, especially seniors and you know, those with professional aspirations and decisions to be made, et cetera, et cetera. But here we are with one game in the fall, and certainly this game is going to be the only iteration of these buys, and we already know that Dylan Radins is not going to be with the team. We don't know anything about Carson Schoening, and of course we don't know anything about Trey Lance, and that of course is the big question. Will he go pro? Will he return and graduate next December and classify as a 2022 draft prospect? He certainly, Sam, is the A story, and I want to ask you, when did you start covering the FCS from a national basis?
Probably, I started writing about NDSU specifically back in 2011 when I first went to North Dakota State, and I was paying attention to things nationally a little bit, but I didn't start, truly having that national approach to covering the FCS until about, 2015 or 2016.
So that's post Garoppolo, correct?
Yeah, yep.
So you then obviously never seen anything like this. I would say even Carson was not like this, because no one really knew until after his senior year where he stood with NFL teams. Certainly, I think people thought he would be a draft choice or an undrafted free agent type guy for sure heading into his senior year. But this is a guy that has played 16 games in his entire career, and is going to be a redshirt sophomore. Would potentially be NDSU's first early entry NFL draft choice, and is likely a top 10 pick. This has to be unlike anything you've covered in the FCS.
Yeah, it really is crazy, and I think it's something that is almost unheard of when it comes to this subdivision. You know, I can't go back too far. I'm sure, you know, there's been some great guys coming out of this subdivision like Randy Moss that, you know, probably had this level of hype, but in recent memory, nothing at all compares to this. I mean, there's always one or two guys that get a lot of preseason love as far as, you know, I mean, perfect example is Robert Rochelle, the cornerback from Central Arkansas. He got a lot of preseason hype as far as being a potential day two draft pick. And, you know, there are guys like that in the past, like a Dallas Goedert or a Cooper Kupp, but we're talking about the quarterback position here. And we're talking about a guy that is looked at as a top three quarterback, a potential top 10 overall draft pick going into his redshirt sophomore year. And like you said, not even Carson Wentz had this level of hype. I think even in Frisco, I think Todd McShay, it was either Todd McShay or Mel Kiper came on during the broadcast against Jacksonville State and said, you know, he's a day three grade on Carson Wentz right now. And then obviously Carson goes into the draft process and blows up at the Senior Bowl, the Combine, his pro day. But now, I mean, just kind of out of nowhere, I mean, we all know that Trey Lance had a phenomenal redshirt freshman year, but it wasn't until after his redshirt freshman year, really when the pandemic hit and everything was shut down. I can't remember who, I think it might've been Matt Miller was the first one to come out and say this Trey Lance guy could, you know, potentially be a first round draft pick. And then all of a sudden you have all the other NFL draft analysts checking his film and they go, yeah, you know, I agree. This kid is a potential first round draft pick if he wants to be. And it just kind of, it's blown up from there.
It really has. And you know, we mentioned all these guys, and what I think is, and what obviously NDSU fans are maybe a little bit even sad about, it's the early entry part that's what separates him. I mean, yes, Carson's hype came later, but that was also after his fifth year. You know, Cooper Kupp was never considered for an early entry. Goddard left and was drafted after his senior year. We're not talking about early entry guys. You know, early entry, that stuff's for Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State and, you know, those types of schools, Power Five types of schools. North Dakota State fans aren't supposed to have to worry about saying goodbye to kids until they graduate. And that's sort of where we're at with Trey Lance. And I want to kind of take a little bit of a different approach because folks have, you know, obviously said if you can be drafted in the top 10, there's no reason to risk it and try to get hurt and et cetera, et cetera. And I just kind of want to lay out, if you will, some hope for Bison fans or just what I think the case for Trey staying is. I'll preface this by saying I've had a number of conversations with Trey. I do not have any idea which way he's leaning. He hasn't told me anything. He hasn't asked my advice, nor should he. I don't know anything. But what I will say is there is a conceivable reason for him to stay. And that would be, of course, to try and capture another, you know, two national championships potentially with North Dakota State, to try and elongate a career where he is playing football with his, you know, his best friend in Phoenix Sproles and with a number of friends. These are relationships that, you know, after 2 years, basically his redshirt year and his freshman year, that would end if he ends up at the NFL level. And there are also two other major concerns outside of just what you would call sentimental or, you know, personal reasons. And number one, that is, it is unlikely in my estimation for him to jump either Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. If you look forward to the 2022 class, it's really him. And in my opinion, the University of North Carolina, Sam Howell. And I think he could jump Sam Howell. I think he does have that ability to potentially be the number one overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft. And that's something special. That's something, you know, that would even eclipse Carson Wentz. And finally, as I mentioned, he is on schedule to graduate in December of 2021. So if he did stay for the spring season and the fall season of 2021, he could head into the NFL draft, into the National Football League with a degree in hand. I know his dad, I believe, is a football coach. I mean, these people have been around the education system and understand the value of that. If he ends up going, I completely get that. But I actually think I kind of get, for a couple of reasons, why there might be more of a chance that he sticks around than people are giving him credit for. And frankly, he made the point in his press conference this week to tell people to please stop referring to this as my last game. I have not actually made that decision.
It's really hard, like you said, Ross, to know what he's going to do. And I mean, I personally think, and I have no knowledge at all. This is just, you know, a guess. I think this probably will be his last game as a Bison, just because his stock is so high, and it's so, you know, his stock is so high right now, and you maybe have to go now where your stock is so high. But I do agree with you where there is, it's not, you know, 100% that he's gone, and it's not 100% he has to go now, because there are several reasons why him staying could potentially improve his draft stock if he does have another couple of good seasons in the spring and in the fall. And the thing is, too, if you're a top three quarterback taking a top 10 draft pick, depending on the situation, franchise is probably going to want you to play sooner than later. And, you know, for his long-term NFL career, maybe it would be better for Trey Lance to have one more year at the college level, just to get more comfortable, you know, making those checks and reading those defenses and just, you know, getting more experience, rather than maybe being thrown into the NFL fire as only a 21-year-old. So I think there are, like you laid out, it's a lot better than me. There are plenty of reasons for him to stay. It just seems that, you know, his stock is so high right now that I think he'll end up taking advantage of that and declaring early. But we'll see. We'll see what he decides to do.
For sure. And I think, you know, if you were to ask me, I would say about 80-20. And that would be going instead of staying. You mentioned his stock being high. As I said, I actually, you know, like I said, I think there is a place for his stock to go up. I do really think that if you're just comparing, more often than not, almost always, and you can see, yes, there have been some differences. There have been, you know, years that the number one overall pick was not a quarterback. But more often than not, if you're picking first overall, you stunk. And more often than not, if you have your franchise quarterback, you don't stink. And usually, you know, folks can, with a decent quarterback, you can make your way to 5 or 6 wins, even with a bad roster. And usually that means, obviously, that you're not, if you get to 5 or 6 wins, you're not picking first overall. First overall is usually reserved for 1-15, 2-14, and sometimes 3-13. But you look, going back, you know, five of the last 6 first overall picks have been quarterbacks, and that is only with the exception of Myles Garrett, a couple non-QBs in Jadeveon Clowney and Eric Fisher in 14 and 13. But then you go back to 12, 11, 10, and 09, and you've got Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, Sam Bradford, and Matthew Stafford. The number one overall pick is a quarterback's spot. I don't think it's realistic for Trey in 2021, but 2022, you could be looking at the number one overall pick. Let's move on, though, from this, and I think Trey would appreciate that, because he also made a number of points in his presser saying that this is not a showcase game for Trey Lance. This is about the 2020 Bison getting to play together, and I think beyond just the moving from 12 hours a week of practice to 20 hours a week, because that's a big deal. It is, and that is, guys, if you don't know, that's the difference if you have a game on the schedule and if you don't. The NCAA would limit your practice to 12 hours a week. If you have a game, it's 20. So that's 8 additional hours a week to be developing this team and this program. Outside of just that, Sam, what do you think the big advantages are, or what do you think the pluses are when NDSU laid out the pros and cons of playing one single game in the fall?
Yeah, I think the big thing is the practice thing, like you mentioned, Ross. I know, you know, listening to some podcasts and radio shows out in Montana, you know, Coach Cho at the Montana State head coach, you know, he wasn't I won't say he was unhappy, but you know, kind of like the playoff thing and the semifinal thing and the cost of attendance thing that got Bison fans riled up. He was talking about how this fall everyone was on unlevel playing fields, and how just because NDSU has this one game, you know, they can practice basically twice as long as other teams. You know, same thing with all the other teams that are playing 1, 2, 3 multiple games in the fall. You know, they can practice 20 hours a week. Meanwhile, in Montana or in all the Big Sky schools, their practice schedules are really limited. So the practice thing is a big deal. I think the thing is, too, with NDSU is, you know, they – I know they were looking for three total games, and this Central Arkansas game was kind of a done deal. But when NDSU couldn't find those two other games, you know, they came out and said, you know, we did have a game scheduled with Central Arkansas, but we couldn't find two more games, so we decided not to play. And it's just my hunch that, you know, there were probably some Bison players that said, hey, if we can just play one game this fall, you know, it's better than nothing. So if we have this game, you know, scheduled, let's play this one game. So I think there's a chance that some players stepped up and said, even if it's one game, let's go ahead and do it. And it gives, especially a guy like Dylan Riddens, who's already said that this will be his last game. You know, he's not going to play in the spring, and he's going to turn his attention toward the NFL. That gives him, you know, that one more opportunity to play in the Fargo Dome. And I believe that their NDSU is going to treat this kind of like a senior day and announce all the seniors. So I think it's just, you know, giving these guys that one more opportunity to play together, and, you know, especially give this, you know, looking at the offense that Ross, you and I were talking about before we started recording, this is probably going to be the best NDSU offense in team history. And this is their one chance for all those guys to play together one more time.
Yeah, we're going to see it once, and it's something that I think I've mentioned on Bison 1660. It's something I've mentioned just in general, but this offense, I think, would have been the best in school history, and I don't mean any disrespect to 13 or 16 or 18 or even last year, but you get another year of development for these guys with really the only two losses being – three main losses being Zach Johnson and Ben Ellison and then Jimmy Kapouris. And you get internal development from a number of guys. I think they would have been unreal. With year two of Trey Lance, another year of development for Sproles and Watson, and then I think you would be in store for monster seasons from Babich and Gindorf at tight end. Two NFL-quality tackles, an NFL-quality center potentially, and backs. I mean, the return of Seth Wilson, Sabian Clark, Kobe Johnson, Jalen Bussey, Adam Cofield. There are just so many different ways. I mentioned this. You guys know, most of you that listen to the show, that I work for 24/7's Kansas State affiliate, and I've been doing that since Coach Klieman left for Manhattan. I scouted the entire Big 12 for our summer series there at GPC. And outside of probably Oklahoma, there isn't a more talented Big 12 offense than North Dakota State. And I know that that might sound a little hyperbolic, but it's not. I mean, to be frank, Riddens is a first-round pick. Lance is a first-round pick. Watson's an NFL guy. Volson's an NFL guy. Babich and Gindorf are probably both NFL guys. I just this offense was going to be Big 12 good, and the only opportunity that we will ever get to the only opportunity we'll ever get to watch this group play together is on Saturday. So I just hope people kind of understand and appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, you laid it out there of all the different weapons NDSU has offensively. And I mean, it would have been really exciting to see this offense play a full season together. Obviously that Oregon game would have been really exciting to watch, just to see that matchup. But yeah, I agree with you. I think this would have been NDSU's most explosive and best offense they've had, not only from a numbers perspective and the yards and the points per game, but just, I think, when, you know, 2-3 years from now, we're going to see some of these guys playing in the NFL, or we're going to be like, holy crap. I mean, these guys were all a part of the same offense, and we only got to see them, together this season for that one time, even though, you know, last year's offense was pretty special as well with all these guys together.
We pride ourselves at Bison Report on knowing what's going on, certainly on NDSU squad, but also within the Valley, but I don't think Trevor or I would claim to have a great grasp. Certainly no grasp in the way it would compare to, you know, what you and BMAC, and obviously we love Craig as well. What are we getting in this Central Arkansas team? A team that was playoff qualifier a year ago, I believe lost their first round playoff game or their first playoff opportunity. What are we? And I think a lot of folks, or some folks certainly, haven't been all that impressed with Central Arkansas through these games. Most of these games have been available either on national television or just available to see. What are we getting on Saturday with this Central Arkansas group?
Yeah, I mean, the Bears haven't played as well and haven't looked as sharp as I was expecting. They were the number 8 seed last year in the playoffs and then lost. They had a bye week and then lost in the second round to Illinois State. And then the Redbirds came to the Fargo Dome. But, you know, we looked at UCA as I think they were number 8, 9, or 10 in our preseason rankings. And then in the stats poll, I believe they came in preseason number 11. And that's because, I mean, they have essentially their entire team coming back from last year. And we looked at them as the top team out of the Southland Conference and a team that could potentially, you know, get another playoff seed in a normal year. And, you know, having the experience from last year, make a decent run, you know, maybe get back or get to the quarterfinals. But they just, you know, they haven't looked overly sharp. The week zero game against Austin Peay was really sloppy. They had a close loss to FBS UAB that, you know, they scored 35 points in that game, gave up, I think, 45. And, you know, I look at that as, all right, their offense is back. But then last week they had a really close game with Missouri State, ended up winning, but we're down by 2 touchdowns at one point in that game. And we all know that Missouri State has been at the bottom of the Valley standings for quite some time. So it's just, you know, they haven't really been clicking in, especially offensively. I mean, their quarterback Braylon Smith was a preseason All-American. He put up big numbers last year. And I understand, you know, part of that is due to their offense and part of that is due to Southland defenses, but he does have a talented arm and he has his top 2 wide receivers back and Winningham and Hudson, two younger guys that have, you know, bright futures in the FCS and we could potentially see in the NFL down the road and, you know, experienced offensive line, experienced running back room. And we looked at them and said, all right, this is a top 10 FCS team. And they haven't really looked like that so far this fall. Things just aren't really clicking for UCA. So they haven't been as good as I expected. And I think, you know, this is a pretty big matchup problem for UCA because they're even though NDSU's defense is relatively young and inexperienced, I don't see the offense having a ton of success. And I don't see the defense holding up too strong against this NDSU offense.
I believe the line is 21.5. Have you seen it lately?
At the start of this week, I want to say it was 23, which I think is too low, honestly.
Okay, yeah. See, that's kind of where I'm at. We can get to game predictions a little bit later, but when I saw that, it's not going to be enough. This is a highly motivated, highly annoyed North Dakota State football team, and I don't care, you know, if there are no people in the dome, 10,000 people in the dome, 750 family in the dome. Like, I have concerns for Central Arkansas, certainly. Let's talk about kind of the next step, just because you're, again, the national guy. Forget all the other positions. I think Zach Willis would do a good enough job filling in for Schooning. I don't know. Cordell saying he's coming back is a huge deal, in my opinion. And I don't know how many other seniors I feel like would really tip the scales as far as we already know that Cody Mauch's probably going to step in for Dylan Radins. And if Volson isn't leaving, I don't know how many more of the seniors, you know, I would be concerned about. When you look at a depth chart with Jackson Hankey and James Kaiser and Jazeer Cox and some of the defensive ends and stuff, like, you're not seeing a ton of seniors as starters, period. So I think the team's going to kind of look like the team in the spring. Let's talk about a Bison team in a post-Trey Lance world. Cody Mauch's the left tackle, Cordell Volson stays, which he said he's going to, and Zeb Nolan steps in for Trey Lance, do you have a different number one team in the country than you do now?
No, it would still be the Bison. I think there still would be that gap between NDSU and whoever the number two team is. It's not like last year where James Madison was the clear number two team, or the 1A or 1B team, as some viewed them, with NDSU, which, you know, and Frisco, JMU was obviously right there with the Bison and had a chance to score and tie the game and send it to overtime. But JMU loses a ton. And I know, you know, Northern Iowa, they were number two or number three in a lot of preseason polls. They have had a few studs, either transfer or I know their beast of a left tackle, Spencer Brown, he opted out to pursue the NFL. You know, South Dakota State was my number two team coming into this year, but they, Cade Johnson, has transferred, and he said he won't play again in college. If he does play in college again, it won't be until fall of 2021. And so there isn't that clear number two team in the FCS. And with Trey Lance, I mean, this, I think NDSU would have, you know, would have rolled to a national championship. But even without Trey Lance, even without Dylan Radins, I still think that gap is there. And I think Zeb is more than capable of stepping in and leading NDSU to a national championship. So I think NDSU is still would be the clear number one team heading into the spring, and I would be surprised if, you know, even if Trey Lance declares early and Zeb Nolan is the new guy, I think I would be shocked if NDSU wasn't still the unanimous number one team in the 2021 spring, you know, preseason poll.
Sure. Yeah. And I actually, a lot of this is going to sound kind of hot taking and insane. I'm actually more excited, I think, for the pass catchers. Mm-hmm. If it is Zeb instead of Trey. And the reason that I say that, it's not that Zeb's a better quarterback than Trey Lance. He's not. He's extremely talented and extremely gifted. You go back and look at, you know, like what he did to Oklahoma when he had to fill in at Iowa State. The kid can spin the ball. And he told me when you know, he signed that he's a good athlete, he can run, and that Iowa State didn't want him to run because he was playing because they were already short on QBs. I still think a lot of the quarterback run stuff that they do with Trey would be taken out of the playbook with Zeb, and you would see more of a Steve Walker type offense, which we haven't seen forever. Obviously, you know, Brock was a good athlete, Carson was a good athlete, Easton ran a freaking 4.6, and Trey might be faster than all of them. I would be very interested to see more of a you know, Steve Walker, you can see like what the Rams are running, what the Packers are running. That type of offense is extremely intriguing to me from the standpoint of we're going to run the ball and then we're going to do, you know, play action and not so much with the QB run. I think that the tight ends and Watson and Sproles would absolutely feast in more of a run to set up the play action offense that has less of the QB run element in it. I think you would see a very similar version of the North Dakota State offense, but I would be with these huge and talented weapons they have outside. I am incredibly intrigued by a spring and fall season with Zeb as North Dakota State's QB1.
Yeah, and he has a good arm. You know, I haven't seen him get out and run by any means, but I highly doubt he's a, you know, if you guys remember Eli Dunn from Northern Iowa, you know, a statue back there that NDSU just got after. He wouldn't be that type of quarterback. He would be able to get out and move and, you know, maybe run some quarterback counters every now and then, or some read options every now and then, just to keep the defense honest. But, you know, NDSU always loves having that quarterback run game. I think now it's just basically an added bonus because NDSU really doesn't need that quarterback run game to be successful, just with the offensive line they have, the stack running back room they have, then just the wide array of weapons in the passing game between the tight ends and the wide receivers. So it would be a different look NDSU offense. It would be you know, a little less explosive, which is understandable when you just lost a first round NFL draft pick at quarterback, but I still think it would be, you know, a pretty explosive offense overall.
Sam, do you have any concerns about North Dakota State's defense? I mean, the pretty significant losses. James Hendricks, Pro Football Focus College, graded him as North Dakota State's best defender a season ago, which is to say nothing of the two NFL draft picks they also lost in Derek Tuska to the Denver Broncos and Jabril Cox transferring to the LSU Tigers. Do you have any concerns about this young NDSU defense?
Not huge concerns. I mean, by FCS standards, NDSU is still going to have a really good defense. It might not be an absolute lockdown, you know, shutdown, dominant defense where offenses just can't get anything going. But I still think that NDSU will, defensively will be just fine. We saw last year the run defense, more specifically the interior of the defensive line was a little more gettable than in past years. I think I remember Nichols was having some pretty good success running up the middle on that NDSU defense. So I think I want to see improvement there, especially with some, overall on the defensive line, someone having to step up to plug up that middle, but also get after the quarterback with Tuska gone. But I mean, overall there still is, the linebacking core, is still going to be really good. You have some good players back there at safety, especially Michael Tutsi. I think he's going to have he already had a breakout season last year, but he's going to have an All-American level season this year. Josh Hayes on the outside, some younger guys on the defensive line that don't have a ton of playing experience, but I think we'll get better every year. So, I mean, like I said, not really a huge concern when it comes to the Bison defense. I just don't know if they're going to be, a team that's only giving up 12.8 points per game. But, I don't think it's going to be up in the 20s where NDSU is giving up 22 points per game. But I would say somewhere in the middle there, which is obviously still a really good defense. And, when your offense is going to be putting up some points, even with the potential of Zeb Nolan starting, NDSU isn't going to have to, it's not going to be like 2012 where the offense is only scoring 20 points a game and the defense has to, absolutely step up. The defense doesn't have to play lights out to win games this year.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I don't think this will be a historically good NDSU defense, but I think from FCS standards, they're still going to be, if not the best defense in the country, they'll be, close from a talent perspective. Michael Tutsi is a phenomenal football player. Jackson Hankey is absolutely nails. Josh Hayes is probably the most complete corner. I know the one coming to the dome is pretty darn good as well, but Josh Hayes to me is probably the most complete corner in FCS football. But there are legitimate concerns. First of all, the linebackers are small. I would have figured, as I mentioned, I thought James Kayser and Jazeer Cox would kind of be in competition to replace Jabril because usually they have a heavier, stockier linebacker play that other position next to Hankey, the Will spot. And that was not the case. They're going to have two safety converts play both linebacker spots. Kayser and Cox are going to play together, meaning they've got, a Mike linebacker is 220 and both outside linebackers are 205. That's not huge. And you mentioned the defensive tackle room wasn't great last year. So you're looking for major steps forward from Matt Beagler, from Costner Ching. You're looking for Javier Derrett to step up. You're looking for the promise that was Lane Taylor, who was the number one recruit in the state of Wyoming and picked North Dakota State over Craig Bolt and the Cowboys when he was recruited to be a Bison. You're looking for that promise to really pay off in a big way. And also the corner room is young. I mean, if anything were to happen to Josh Hayes, that room would be extremely young, and you would have probably some true freshmen out there. Fortunately, I've been told by guys that have played at North Dakota State that physically corner is the most demanding position, but mentally it's probably the easiest. And so if these young kids are good athletes, and Courtney Eubanks and Marquise Siegel, they're probably going to be able to pick up the playbook because there's plenty to it, but there's not a ton to playing corner in this defense. So those are the concerns that I can certainly get behind it and understand. All right, Sam, it's prediction time. That's how we generally close the show. So how do you see this one ending up in Fargo on Saturday?
This might be, I don't know if it's actually all that bold, but I'm going to say NDSU puts up 52 points on UCA. And I think UCA will have some offensive success here or there just because they do have some explosive playmakers. But I'll say NDSU 52-17. I think the Bison will pull away rather quick. But since this is, even if it is 28-0 heading into halftime, I still think since this is a one-game you know, quote unquote showcase game for not only Trey Lance, but just, you know, the offense as a whole. I still think NDSU is going to pass the ball and, you know, get the ball to their playmakers, even if they are up big. So I think NDSU is going to go over 50 points in this game. I really do.
Yeah, I've got 56-14. I see the same destruction and death that you are foreseeing as well. I just this offense is so good. Central Arkansas is not good enough. I don't care if you put Robert Rochelle on Phoenix or put Robert Rochelle on Christian Watson. It's not going to be enough to shut down North Dakota State's entire offense. I don't think Central Arkansas is ready for this. And as I mentioned, this is a very annoyed, pissed off version of a extremely talented North Dakota State offense. Defensively, like I said, I think they get to 14. You think they get to 17. Yeah, I don't see Code Green pitching any kind of a shutout, especially with no crowd there to be loud. But I also don't foresee an embarrassing performance by Code Green either. As you mentioned, Central Arkansas QB has struggled. They don't look like the same offense they were, and North Dakota State should be able to handle them. So Sam's got, 52-17, and I've got 56-14. Both of us looking for a big-time Bison win. Sam, buddy, thanks.
Hey, thank you once again for having me on. It was fun.
All right, everybody, stay safe this weekend, and go Bison.